We have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy.
Almighty and most merciful Father, we have strayed from Your ways like lost sheep. We have followed the devices and desires of our hearts. We have offended against Your holy law. We have done those things which we should not have done, and we have not done those things which we should have done. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Spare us and restore us, according to the promises You have declared to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. For His sake, grant that we may live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of Your holy name.
Mighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
O Lord, open my lips.
My mouth shall show forth your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Our scripture reading from tonight comes from Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. And he made alive you who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. St. Paul once spoke about not being eloquent, about speaking in plain and simple words. He surely seems to be a gifted orator and an astounding preacher, but he doesn't use sophisticated language to show off to his audience. He speaks plain and simple language, but in ways that make us think about what he is saying. He has a command of the central concepts of the Christian faith. He makes clear contrasts to emphasize his point. His point in this chapter is that it is God alone who saves us. We do not save ourselves. He begins his contrast with the point of describing our human condition. In many words, he says, "You were dead in trespasses and sins. You followed the ways of the world. You were like the sons of disobedience. You followed the lusts of the flesh. You were by nature children of wrath." It is a classic presentation of God's law. The law exposes our corruption. It diagnoses our disease, and it threatens the punishments that we deserve because of our sins and our sinfulness. The law has to hammer at us because we think that we can do things on our own. The law has to show us our utter helplessness. At this time of year, with Reformation coming next week, we might remember the young Martin Luther, who became so frightened of God, so afraid of hell and God's judgment, that he used to beat himself, deprive his body of food and sleep, and spend hours praying and confessing his sins. But it did no good. He could not remove his sin by his own efforts. We see this reflected in the hymn we sang, which was written by Martin Luther. "Fast bound in Satan's chains I lay, death brooded darkly o'er me. Sin was my torment night and day, in sin my mother bore me. Yea, deep and deeper still I fell, life had become a living hell, so firmly sin possessed me." Even his best efforts at holiness, even becoming a monk, had failed. "My good works so imperfect were, to hell I fast was sinking." Do we take sin that seriously? Do we think that our sinfulness may cause us to die? We live in an amazing age of comfort and convenience. There is still danger for Christians. In recent weeks, we have heard of Christians being persecuted in India and in Iraq. But in America, it's pretty easy to let things go, not to worry about our Christian faith, not to be too concerned about heaven and hell. When is the last time you thought about the devil actually working against you personally? But he does, every day. And perhaps that you haven't been thinking about it means that he's been working even harder. So it is appropriate for us to pray every single day, "Deliver us from evil. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me." Then when we are concerned about our sin, when we are concerned about the devil, perhaps even troubled and frightened, the law has done its work. When we recognize that we are sinful creatures who cannot save ourselves, then we understand what God has said here through St. Paul. You were dead in trespasses and sins. That bitter pill has done its work. And now St. Paul comes with the greatest contrast, the sweet message of the gospel. But God is rich in mercy. He loves you. He made you alive. He raised you up. He seated you in the heavenly places. He saved you. Isn't it a wonderful thing when you have a whole stack of work, a whole pile of work to do, and someone comes and says, "Here, I'll do that for you." What a relief. What a burden is lifted from us. It is even more amazing when it is the Almighty God who says to us, "I'll do that for you. I'll pay the price for your sins. I'll earn eternal life for you. I'll die for you." When Martin Luther came to understand that this righteousness, this goodness of God, was not something we had to earn, but was something that God gives to us, the whole Bible opened up to him as a book of promises and glory, as a book of comfort and reassurance. Christianity became for him no longer a religion of works, but a religion of mercy and grace and forgiveness and hope and eternal life. Again, he reflects this in his hymn. "But God beheld my wretched state before the world's foundation, and mindful of his mercies great, he planned my soul's salvation. A father's heart he turned to me, sought my redemption fervently. He gave his dearest treasure." God sent Jesus to be the sacrifice for our sins together, for my sins and for yours. Jesus became like us, became incarnate, became flesh, to live a life that was holy and sinless and pleasing to God, because you and I cannot do that. That is how much God loves us. Even though we were sinners, even though we were totally corrupt, even though we were dead, God loved us. God made us alive. God opened heaven for us. He leaves no doubt about our salvation. It is completely in his hands, so it is perfect and sure. Paul makes this clear by contrasting our sins and our works and our efforts with God's grace and mercy and free gift of salvation. He says God does this that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the sweetest gift of God. It is completely gift, God offering and giving to us forgiveness of sins, life, and eternal salvation. What more can you ask? What more do you need? What more would you want? This is the best thing, the greatest thing you will ever have in your life and after your life. This is the one thing needful. This is what truly lasts beyond a lifetime. It doesn't need fancy words or great eloquence to be valuable. Its worth is intrinsic, because it is the gift of God, because it is the blood of Jesus, God's Son. His robe of righteousness now covers you, and you are dressed to enter the marriage feast of heaven. He has loved you. He has made you alive. He has set you in the heavenly places. He has saved you, all by his grace, his mercy, his free gift. For by grace you have been saved through faith. May God bless and keep you in that faith through Christ Jesus. Amen.
church. Abide with us in the end of the day, in the end of our life, and in the end of the world. Abide with us with your grace and goodness, with your holy word and sacrament, with your strength and blessing. Abide with us when the night of affliction and temptation comes upon us, the night of fear and despair, when death shall come. Abide with us and with all the faithful through time and eternity.
And the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit.